He is Johnny Starr, the most interesting man in fireworks.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing this Johnny Starr this and Johnny Starr the most interesting man. What about me? When is anybody gonna make the most interesting Dino?
Oh, Dino. Yeah.
Here, read this.
Sure. You want me to read these? Oh, okay. Take it easy, big guy. Take it easy. Okay, here we go.
The CEO at Jack Daniels has a t-shirt with his picture. He's been told that he resembles Oscar the Grouch, if he wasn't the Muppet. He hoards a mountain of loose change in his kitchen cabinet. He procrastinates in reverse. Home movies of his backyard fireworks show were blurry and out of focus. In every tavern in Fargo, there's a drink named after him. He has never won anything, unless you include a free adjustment from Happy Time Thai Massage. He's been motorboated by a black man while wearing nothing but a yellow bikini and a smile. He is Dino Alexikos, the second most interesting man in fireworks.
Not all of my evenings end in an alcohol-induced rage, but when they do, I drink at the windbreak. I'm Dino. Johnny Starr.
Starr Fireworks is located right off I-29 at the Wild Rice exit. If the sign out front doesn't say Starr Fireworks, keep driving.
In the word, Brian, what is this job all about?
Fire.
John, we're here. Episode 51?
Episode 51, PGI 2017.
It's a little sad for a PGI, I gotta admit it.
It's a sad PGI day.
Well, let's say Fireworks Brigade.
Fireworks Brigade.
Johnny Starr, Ron the Banker.
Well, we got a couple guest stars here with us.
Yeah, we have a couple guest stars. You want to introduce yourself, guys?
Hi, I'm Jaden Burke.
Rob Burke.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, Rob Burke is the most interesting man in
Ohio.
In Ohio. I would say.
There you go. How'd you like that? Dino's been begging to have one of his own commercials done. How'd you?
Well, when you play my 10, when you play my most interesting ones compared to his, it's fabulous.
Yeah, I hope Dino's gonna like him. He wants me to email that.
He's gonna love it.
Well, let's get back to PGI. So 2 years, 3 years ago, I was in Mason City, Iowa. It was awesome. We were in the tent in the barn.
Yep.
All these fireworks going off, a lot of commerce going on, a lot of good things happening, smiling faces.
Yeah, we got Rob Burke saying, roll them, we're dealing. We got everything going on here.
Yeah, and then last year we were at Indiana. Indiana wants me. Johnny Starr, Maverick.
Yep, Maverick in the fireworks business.
Maverick, firework guy. And then last year there was some... Drama. Let's call it drama. And now this year,
I'm banned. I can't even bend. I'm like in a funk.
I know.
I just can't even. It's not even.
But Johnny,
PGI.
You know, Jade and I thought about selling autographs, pictures of you down there. So we could do that.
Because no one gets to see me now. Because you know they're having withdrawals. I hope they listen to this show because then they'll know that I'm still alive.
Yeah,
but we are going out to tomorrow, though. We are going to make appearance. We're going to walk around. We're going to just put a smile on our face like I always do. We think positive and try and hand out as many business cards and get them over here.
We didn't even make it out there today. It took us 3 hours for dinner. It was like going to a wedding without the bride and groom.
Yeah, dinner was crazy today. Yeah, that was nuts.
And we were going to go out there, but we didn't make it out there. But there was a lot of pyro people in the restaurant, and all the people we were talking to, they're all saying how disappointing it is. Like, people are even saying, what the heck are you doing here this
year? Yeah, I mean, when they're in a restaurant on the first Saturday, that's almost tells you...
They should be out having a good time. Yeah.
That kind of really tells you what's going on at the convention. Nothing.
I heard the Class C vending area was pretty quiet, too.
Yeah. That's
and we heard nobody shooting off. They said there was nobody shooting anything off. So I think the PGI members, the best thing they can do to speak up for themselves is not buy anything from those vendors and send them all packing. That's what we need to do.
There you go.
So, and how many PGIs have you been to?
Well over 40.
Well over 40.
I'm what they call an old snort. We're some of the original old timers that have been to some of the very early conventions back when there was like 75 to 100 people. Uh-huh. So I've seen it all, been there, done it, seen a lot of famous people come and go. But, you know, it's really special to be in the presence of Johnny Starr. You know, the guy typically has got an entourage around him, and it's just it's kind of cool to be around him and not have anyone tackle him or anything.
I mean, you got my full attention. Usually there's like 50 people trying to talk to me.
He's a down-to-earth guy, too, so that's what's special.
Andy, let's just point out that Rob, not only is he an old snort at the PGI.
Is that like
it's a regular thing called the old snort?
What is that? I mean, what's the translation on that, really?
There was one of the old members was Orv Carlisle, who has since passed away. But
a member of the PGI.
Yeah, he was a member. But he was used the phrase that whenever an engine had thrust on a skyrocket, he would call that thrust snort.
Okay.
So it's kind of in memory of him and that cute term he had that we call ourselves the old snorts.
Ah, all right.
So no other meaning than that,
So not only is Rob an old snort, but you also did the auction. You ran the auction for many years.
Almost 40 years did the auction. And
now you stopped last year? You didn't do
it?
Couple years ago you stopped.
Out with the old, in with the new, but, you know, we had some great times.
But there was nobody better than Rob Burke at raising money. And then how much did you sell? That was an incredible year. Just goes to show how much things have changed now.
Right.
But how much did you sell that super string, which they don't even do anymore? We used to do a super string where they lit off, got a million firecrackers, had a crane come out, lift it up.
Really?
And it was spectacular. It would be a big ball of fire. And Rob Burke would auction off who gets to actually light it. Like one year to Schneider.
Yeah,
they lit it for the grandfather. He died, you know. Yeah. Schneider died, and then the granddaughters bought it.
But, you know, back in 78, the first time we did it, it was just kind of a joke like, hey, let's bid for the right to light the string and to light the fuse. And that first year, it went for $25.
Mm-hmm.
Got by Lou Chaplewski out of Chicago.
Ah.
And it kind of went from there. And the highest we made it was over $4,000.
Over $4,000. Rob got this poor guy up there. He's blasting him. Come on, we get up here. Come on. I mean, he's doing his old auction thing. There's never been a better auctioneer, I don't think, Rob. Ever.
We try to entertain them.
You made it fun.
Made it fun. And those are the good old days. Things were plain and simple, and everyone had a good time at the PGI conventions, and they left with a smile on their face.
Not only did Rob Burke do that, but he was he also, you're the famous guy who had a regular seminar, or we did a talk about the Larry Lomas. We had our own little. We were on the pamphlet. I mean, we had a regular slot time, and I think about eight people showed up. And me and Rob Burke entertained them with Larry Lomas stories.
So, you know what's crazy? Ron the banker.
What?
Is, and make sure you invest your money wisely, by the way.
Okay.
But what's amazing is back in the day, I thought everyone knew about Larry Lomas, Midwest Fireworks, and before that, Buckeye Fireworks. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I grew up with them, and the stories go on and on about what we could tell. So John had a chance to know him and deal with him later on.
Mm-hmm.
And John, I exchanged stories. So I thought that a lot of other people would enjoy that.
Yeah.
But to my surprise, it was under a dozen.
Yeah.
So
we gave out T-shirts, too, because we could afford to, because there were only eight people.
What, you had eight people show up?
Eight people showed up to
at the PGI?
At a PGI in a room.
It was called The Life and Times of Larry Lomas.
And we've kind of kept that going here on the podcast.
Yeah,
we've talked about Larry in memoriam a couple times.
Yeah, we're not letting him die. He still owes me money. But so only eight people showed up. But they actually had good. But it was
I have a piece of history for you people out there in radio land. Listen very carefully. Mr. Lomas came out with a brand called Superman.
Yes.
John, do you know who gave him that name?
Rob?
You are correct. I gave him that name.
And you know who gave him the lawsuit?
Yeah, I would think it would be DC
Comics. So anyways,
DC Comics?
He says, thanks, Burke. You cost me $150,000.
Yeah. So that's a very good impression, by the way. Yeah. When he goes, $150,000.
Yeah, it is a good impression, from what I remember.
Yeah.
We were talking about Larry at lunch today, you guys.
Yes,
or at dinner today, at our three-hour dinner.
Here's another story that no one knows about out there in radio land. Lomas tried a deal in Akron called Little Las Vegas.
Okay.
There was a loophole in the law in the city of Akron because a lot of people were doing fundraisers to give the money to the Cancer Society or all these different, you know, nonprofit groups.
Right.
So Larry told the officials of Akron that the money was going to multiple sclerosis or some sort of deal. Well, as you can imagine, Larry kept the money. Nice. Lovely.
Lovely. Now you can understand why Larry lasted 9 months in hospice. It was the Lord paying him back.
Yeah.
The best story, I think, for Larry Lomas, we'll recap this up. You want to talk to the star of the show, Jaden Burke, because he's the up-and-coming new guy. You know, me and Rob are getting old. You're done.
We're history.
But Jaden is, not only is he going to be the president of Burke Enterprises, but he's also going to be, fantastic in the pinball world, the video game world, retro video game world. But anyways, we're going to talk one more. The best thing I can tell you about Larry Lomas, and please, Jaden, don't ever do what he did. But he did a magazine. It was a coin magazine. And if you sent him a dollar, he gave you a buffalo head nickel, I believe, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And of course, Larry got all these. It was back in the day when you advertise in the back of
magazines and
all
that.
So Larry got all of these dollars sent to him. Do you remember the story?
Yeah.
So he got all these. He got all these dollars sent to him, but he sent out no nickels.
What? It was for a buffalo nickel, I think.
Yeah, buffalo head nickel.
It's fraud.
It is fraud. But but so the lawyer now, you know, Larry gets in trouble for this, and the lawyer's defending him and he's trying to tell Larry, you should be a little bit nervous here. You frauded all these people. He's like, you think, Larry in his voice. What did Larry say? Do you think how many people are going to show up for a dollar? When they open up the courtroom,
there was a lot of people.
Tons of people in there. And then Larry knew he was in trouble.
what was the final outcome of that? How much did he have to pay?
I don't know. He probably declared bankruptcy and not to
and
pay a dollar.
Over,
yeah,
start,
and started over.
And he probably didn't pay the attorney either.
You know, Ron, some of his favorite lines is, I want to be your friend, but I want your money, was one of them.
Yeah.
And then he often said to me, Burke, they make laws so I can break them, was always a famous line of his. But the lines and stories about this young man going forever, ever, and people say, what's the fascination? And it's a man this wild lived in this society.
Yeah.
And the thing was, he was likable. So that's, people either liked him or loved him. Another famous story, John, I'm not sure if you know about this, but someone owed him money. We can tell you now, fans, because the guy is deceased. Someone owed him money. So he called this guy up and impersonated a federal agent saying that, we're after you.
Mm-hmm.
Just so happens, this is a true story, listen carefully, just so happens his phone was actually being tapped at the time.
Really?
When he was trying to tell them he was a Fed agent. Can you imagine the Feds listening on this the other end like, who is this guy saying he's a Fed agent?
Yeah.
So
he didn't miss a trick, did he?
No.
Didn't miss a trick. He spent a lot of time in jail and didn't bother him at all. Because,
no. He hung out in a law library.
Did he? Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah. He learned how
became a lawyer himself, basically, in his
own
right.
Never went beyond 11th grade, but he was a self-made guy. Liked his women, liked his music, and enjoyed life to its fullest. You say, John, we could go forever, but about Larry, let's move on.
Right? Well, I think there's one thing I want to say is that there's one guy that's still alive that I don't think anybody could fill his shoes when he's dead, and I think Larry came the closest to that guy. And he's famous in his own right. He's not a movie star, not a singer. They can be replaced. It's Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner has had a lifestyle that I don't think anyone could ever replace, and Larry had a very similar lifestyle to Hugh Hefner. He had always got, he had a lot of money, he had a lot of women, he had fancy cars, he had the little house in Deerfield with the sauna and pools, and he flew in lobsters and had these parties. It was just out of control. So there's anyone that came somewhat close to Hugh Hefner, that would be Larry.
He was like the poor man's Hugh Hefner.
Poor man's Hugh Hefner.
That's it.
All right, so Larry's done, but we got here.
Wait, one more story. Just remember.
One more story. Okay.
Oh, boy.
I'm with Larry. I went to school at Kent State, Kent State University. I went to school at Kent State as a freshman. And Larry says, Burke, I'm going to pick you up Saturday in my Duster, 1970 Duster. And we're going to do we're going to do some shopping. I want to buy some furniture. So we go to the shop, and we're going to talk to this guy, and the guy says, okay, you want to pay for it or charge? I'd like to charge it. What's your name? Larry Collins. So I look over to him and raise my eyebrows. Like, what? Who was that? He says, quiet, quiet. The guy comes back. He says, your application was approved. He charged it. Well, needs to say, he never paid the bill.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, being the banker that I am, the stories like that just make my skin crawl.
It's really bad. Yeah,
guys, people like that just make us bankers.
Yeah, that's right. And you know who pays for all this? It's the poor guy like me. I get no credit because you guys are chasing Larry Lomas. Right,
hey, right. Johnny, I'm sorry. Another story.
Oh, no.
July around
2 he doesn't want to talk about his own son. This is terrible.
About 2 weeks before July 4th, this one particular year, Lomas contracted every radio station to put an ad, a commercial for his Midwest Fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember distinctly, no matter what station you went to, anytime the song was over, brought to you by Midwest Fireworks. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I said, Larry, I said, how are you going to pay for all this stuff? He looked at me and said, Burke, who says I'm going to pay for it? All right, go on, guys.
Man, oh, man.
Okay, so anyways, now this young gentleman sitting to the right of me, I think is definitely a rising star. Let's see. Jaden, I've known you probably, well, of course, I remember when you were born, but probably since you're about 5 or 6 is probably when you may start remembering me or maybe seeing me. We met at your father's house many times for a little Chinese with, what was his name, Mr. Young?
Chung.
Who's Mr. Chung?
Mr. Chung is the guy who owned a Chinese restaurant in Warren, Ohio.
Yep.
And he would, I'd sometimes drive in or fly in, and I'd sit at the table with Rob and his family. And Mr. Chung would come with a bunch of home regular food from the Chinese restaurant and sit down with us. And most of the time we sat outside on a deck. And then one year we went to Mr. Chung's house. That was a little sketchy. He actually had bamboo. He actually had bamboo trees. I can't get a weed to grow. The man's got bamboo in Ohio. I didn't even know.
In his house? Like outside or in the house?
It was a beautiful. No, outside. It was like we have evergreens. He had bamboo.
And he was kind of chuckling because he's, you know, the bamboo grows like a wild weed. It grows underground.
It's great.
And it just pops up everywhere. So he kind of laughed because he says, when I sell this house, this bamboo will be all over, it'll cover the whole front yard. You know, it's going to be everywhere.
Don't you need special climate to grow bamboo?
I thought we did, but I'm telling you what, you've never seen a bamboo like, I mean, I would have loved it because it was, he gave me a stalk to take home and I tried to grow it indoors first to transfer it outside. It never worked. Yeah. But maybe Chicago might be too cold for bamboo. But so Mr. Chung would come by. So that's kind of the first early years of Rob Burke, and then not only was I amazed at his lovely family, but also the collectibles and the collections. We don't want anyone robbing your house, of course, but I mean, but every time you go into his basement, which is huge and full of video games and pinball machines, everything else, as you're going downstairs, you got cigarettes from every cigarette brand in China.
Yep.
You got more cookie jars than, I mean, you guys had. It's amazing. You guys aren't all 400 pounds in your house. I mean,
collection of cookie jars with cookies in them?
A collection of Band-Aid boxes,
oh,
cookie jars, old dolls. What were some of the old figurines and stuff?
It's not a hoarding situation.
And for those of you that are into the sci-fi world, I also have a collection of Ultraman.
That was
it. Which is a famous Japanese
TV show. We've seen some Ultraman shows before. And then he goes to that, I call it the big power breaker room. Remind me of the carnival. All of a sudden he's he flips his big switch. I wish people could see us on live, but that big switch, all of a sudden, it's like happy ending.
Everything turns on.
All the games all turn on, and then it's the games begin, and Rob's like a master of every game. And you're pretty good too, Jade. I remember playing with you on one of a couple of them games. I think Space Invaders was one that was one of my favorites, and he's like a master of that. But they have that TV show Growing Up Crosby or Growing Up Crossley. It should really be Growing Up Burke. Because it's an incredible lifestyle. I mean, it's just having all these games and stuff in your own house. See, but most people have like treadmills. We talked to Randy Savage, a.k.a. Tom and Jerry, earlier, and he's all about fitness. But Rob is all about the games. I mean, if anyone made life fun and business fun, too, we got We have his, what would you say, pinball repair guy?
Tony,
much.
Yep.
Tony's waiting outside in the wings.
I was talking to him at dinner extensively about pinball.
And he's got a whole little section where he does pinball. Mm-hmm. So Burke Enterprises, that's what we name our building after him, is really a, it's an impressive place. And when I was in Pennsylvania for a convention, I made all these guys get up early. And I said, come on, guys, we're going for a field trip. And I wouldn't tell them where we're going. So we took them to Burke Enterprises because I said, I want you to see what a successful company looks like. And we toured. We got on a golf cart. And I think we put Dino on a golf cart and we ran behind. But anyway, we ran on a golf
cart.
That
makes sense.
We found our shrink wrap machine there. And Rob Burke gave us one of those. So we've done a lot with Burke Enterprises.
Become one big family.
Yeah, and it has been. And then even when Rob was redoing his new place, he invited me down to give him some ideas. And we had some good times doing that. And then, if you there, this guy had his own office.
Jaden.
Jaden had his own office at like 5 years old, I think. He used to go in there in color, but still, it was going to work.
At least he was punching the clock. Yeah.
And then I have that business card of yours. You're all dressed up in a nice suit. And I would say future CEO or something like
that. President.
Future president. Future president, yeah.
And how old are you now, Jaden?
I'm 15. I started working when I was 11 or 12.
Nice. Yeah, that's what you need to do and these days.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, he's doing it right. You know, everyone else is making excuses for their kids not to work, and Jaden's out there encouraged to work. And then I had the pleasure of going to his bar mitzvah, and God, you did your own fundraiser. He learned Hebrew. I mean, you know, our kids can't even, you know, I don't have any kids, but of course I'm saying like kids, you know, our religion.
You mean
kids,
your employees. You
yeah.
Mean, right?
Are standing up there for communion doing nothing. You know, he had to do a whole mass. In Hebrew. And it was really a fantastic thing to sing. So I'm very happy to be part of the Burke, what I call the Burke family. And until Rob's Burke mother died, she was like my second mom because we'd call her up. We'd call her Dr. Burke. And if you had an ailment,
she would help me.
And she didn't like doctors. She was all about vitamins. And how old was your mom when she died?
93.
93.
Wow.
And she lost a lot of her eyesight in the later years, but had a cool Mercedes-Benz SL. I mean, she was really a very good
hip.
Woman. Yeah, hip. And how many years ago did your father pass before your mom?
He was like 86.
And that was how many years before? It was a long time.
Quite a long time.
So she was an amazing woman in herself. And what I loved about it, the staff would go pick her up. Or they'd go pick her up and bring her to lunch. And sometimes they would pick her up lunch and bring it to the house. So it was really a wonderful woman. Your grandmother was really great. But Jaden is the future guy right here.
He's got his own cake. How big is that cake?
Go ahead, Jaden. Talk about the yay cake.
I have two cakes. The what? That's so. I have two sayings. The what, and then the yay. So then,
how do you say the yay exactly?
Yay.
How do you say the what exactly?
What?
Now, and he responds it every time his father says something stupid. He's like, what? You know, and then I say something stupid, and he says the same thing.
So that's why they're named the what and the yay. Yeah.
You know what? I asked John if he would consider doing this cake, and he said, for the right money, I'll do anything. So, Jaden, that was for you. And thanks to John for doing it. This is a very special
So, privilege. Does Jaden owe you some money now? Is that it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Father does.
Yeah. Okay. We're talking about. Well, but the truth of the matter is, and I don't want to lay blame to anybody, but had the PGI not have done the shenanigans last year,
brings it all around the PGI.
Jaden would have his own booth
right
now, separate to ours, but next to ours.
Okay.
And he was going to be selling water and the yay cake and the what cake.
Cookies
and
we had
foam batons for him. So he would have had his own little business.
His
own little lemonade stand. And Johnny Star would have been right beside him on the other side of the booth. And unfortunately, we all, you know, I don't think the PGI realizes how many families they affected over there.
Who's this guy you kept talking about today from the PGI?
Steinberg is he's the first vice president of the PGI.
It seems like this guy really just has an axe to grind with you.
Well, not with me. I think just with the whole vendor association.
Lifeblood of the PGI is the vendors?
The new blood of PGI are the vendors, are the members coming to see the vendors. The people out in the stands watching those Class B shells and all that, those guys are dying off shortly. And the problem with PGI that I see, it's split up into two kind of groups. You have the professional display companies and the Class B guys.
Uh-huh.
And the, what do you call it, the competitors and the shell makers and all that. And then you have what they always consider the low life Class C vendors, like the trailer park people. And unfortunately, and a lot of people don't realize that, the four companies doing the vending today, this week here in 2017, are the very same people that would never come to the PGI because we were more like white trash vendors. They're the big elite. They have
APA. Just a grassroots type of thing. Yeah. You don't need Walmart in there if you have a lemonade stand.
So all these years of supporting the PGI, all of us vendors, and going to these conventions and all over the place, and Rob's 40 years. Now you have four people running the whole vending that are all non-supporters of the PGI, and I got a pretty good idea who picked them.
Mr.
I think so.
What's his name again?
I'm not going to repeat. No. Mr. Steinberg, I think, had a big thing in hiring. This is
for Mr. Steinberg.
And as one gentleman to another, I just want to say, I really hope he can get Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yes.
We really hope he gets Lou Gehrig's disease.
Hey, so one thing, you know, Johnny, you guys have been talking about Jaden. Let's go back here for a second. But the one interesting hobby, he's got is he's got a little company called the Holy Grail.
Okay.
Really? We did not know this.
Tell us about it, Jay, because John doesn't know about it.
Yeah, so, well, a little bit about me is, you know, I used to always play some of the newer games, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and then I kind of tried, and I said, let me just try some of the older games, the original Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, kind of got into that. So now I have my own kind of video game store. It's not a full store yet, but we set up at shows and exhibit. And I enjoyed a lot. Young entrepreneur.
Yes,
so
you are.
So you'll be like at Pinball Expo in Chicago coming up and things like that?
Well, no, this is more for the handheld games.
Oh, okay.
But we were down in Austin, Texas last week, and it's the first time really exhibiting. We had a 20 by 20 booth. We had a carpet laid out, and a lot of the guys that have been there before says, hey, man, you guys win hands down for the nicest booth.
Nice.
So he's 15, and he's, you know, checking out the business world, but he seems to enjoy it, and he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he's learning this, so he's going to kind of combine this with the pinball love, and who knows where he's going to go.
And remember the words of my favorite character in the cartoon world is Batman. So I remember, say this to you again, Jaden, remember one thing. No drugs or alcohol. And that's by the 60s Batman, Adam West, who just passed away. But that was one of his lines. All right,
so here's a Batman story for you. So
no drugs or alcohol.
Because of my pinball interest, I do a pinball show every year called Pinball Expo. And
In Chicago.
So Stern Pinball came out with a game called Batman 66.
Right.
And it was behind the... one of the former employees there by the name of Joe Kamikow.
No tapping.
By the name of Joe Kamikow, that came out with this this concept and this game and licensed it. But I took the back glass off, and I went down to a Comic-Con show in Pittsburgh, and there was Burt Ward and Adam West.
Okay.
Who signed the
back glass in there.
And that was about 3 or 4 months before he passed away. So we saw him right near the very end.
Yeah, they were actually on a plane coming home from that when Adam West was saying to Burt Ward that he wasn't feeling good. And he wanted to get, when he got home, he wanted to go see a doctor and see what was going on. Yeah. And he never thought he was going to die at that state.
He said he was 21 when he started that series.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Young guy.
Yeah. We spoke to Adam West from the grave. Yes. Last podcast.
We got a hold of Adam West from the grave, and we talked to him. And yes, Adam West was. I love imitating Adam West because he's had that monotone voice that it just kind of pitches up and elevates. I always like that. But so that was always his thing: no drugs or alcohol. So, Jaden, if there's one thing you remember from this room. I've never taken a drug in my life, and I know you have. And we're like probably one of, you can count two in one room is almost incredible today. Yeah. And not even no drugs, but not even one puff off of a cigarette. We barely drink. I mean, we'll have occasional drink here or there, but it's not like we're habitual drinkers. And I think
if Dino was in the room, he would bring up the levels. Yeah.
Yeah. But I started in business at 15 years old. I had my own paper stand.
Yeah.
And had my dad built it for me and found a corner. Went down to the city of Chicago. You had to go get everyone's signature. They had to go over to Chicago Tribune. Had to go to Chicago Sun-Times. So there was a lot to do at a 15-year-old kid. And that's how I met Ron. Ron was the assistant manager at that time. After a few years, you're an assistant manager at the McDonald's right across the street.
Right.
And I ran the paper stand on the other side of the street, and we just, you know, waved back and forth, and, you know, and then we started talking, and we became friends ever since, and that was a long time ago. So, yeah, I think it's, I think, and as you see, my store and the passion I have for fireworks is the same passion that you need in a business world to succeed, like your father has. And I think you're on the right road. And, you know, it's and your dad will agree, it's very hard to be in business. Don't you agree, Rob? This day and age.
People have no idea. You know,
they really don't.
They want to give it a shot, but it just,
right.
The influx of cash and the constant outlay of cash, it just never ends. You need to have a friendly banker.
Banker, yes.
No?
'Cause honestly, the banker is your lifeline. If they're your friend, you're good. If they don't like you or something, they can pull the plug so fast that your dreams could go down the drain in a second.
But the main thing, though, Rob, we've always paid the bank. We pay our bills, and I think that's the key, you know, is to be on the level with them.
Well, yeah, to be on the level with them. But speaking as a banker, you know, and there are some times where people go through a little bit of a hardship and you try to have understanding. But at the end of the day, in business or in banking or whatever, the main thing is always communication. If your customer is having a problem or if somebody's having a problem, you need them to tell you ahead of time. You don't want a surprise, and you can work it out together as long as you're both understanding. And they're on as long as they don't Larry Lomas you to death, you're fine. Yeah. But if there's communication there, that's the biggest
John,
key.
Like
in
your buddy
business.
Frank Valli says, transparency. That's his famous word.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I had the pleasure of meeting Rob and Frank Valli and another gentleman I think was from your company, and then a few of the Chinese counterparts in China for a nice dinner we had in Guangzhou. And, you know, and I don't really ask personal questions, but, you know, I know Rob a long time, and now you know how I suffer with cash here, and, you know, you're rich in July and broke in September, and containers are rolling in, and buildings are being built, and it just never ends, it seems like.
It's a risk. It's always a risk.
You know, Rob does a lot of containers, and Frank Valli's a pretty sharp CEO. And I said to him, CFO, I'm sorry. And I said to Frank, I said, let me just ask you a question, because I'm always, me and Rob, we go to a convention together, we're asking all the questions. You know, nobody else in the room is asking any questions, but me and him are always, we went to the coal mines, we're asking all kinds of questions. Everybody else sitting there like, you know, bumps on a log. So we ask a lot of questions. But one of the questions I had for not so much for Rob, but was for Frank Valli, was I said, Frank, I know how I struggle with cash. It doesn't matter how big your company is, but you're growing and you need more money to keep growing and more money to keep the containers coming in. And then you're 90 days out and 60 days out and whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said the same thing. He said, well, you know, we have a pretty good line of credit with the bank and we're able to work with them. And it works out, you know, but it's I haven't had that luxury as far as a credit line or anything like that, but I have good friends that have helped me out, and hopefully we get to that point where we got a good, you know, a good relationship like that. But the point of the thing is, whenever you travel through life, Jaden, too, you ask a lot of questions and you learn from us guys, not so much me, but him and him.
No, that's not true.
But no, I mean, because as a young kid, you know, you can say a lot of, they don't know what they're talking about, they're old, but you will get a lot of experience. And also what makes me so successful is I listen to young people all the time, and I've never ever said, like some other guy on the 10 most wanted list here at Star Fireworks, but there's some guys that say, I'm 45 years old, I'm not going to listen to that 21-year-old or something like that, but I've never said that, because you guys are very smart young kids. You grew up in the computer age. So you have a much better part in this world than we had, because we didn't have all this technology. But so yeah, don't ever be afraid to take advice from somebody young or take advice from somebody old, because and then you do with what you want with it. But hey, that's Johnny, the key to learn.
We have got to catch a plane here.
Yes, you guys are getting out of here.
There's a plane outside the Star Fireworks facility here. But before they warm the engines up, I just thought I'd share one more thing with you with the podcast here for people listening in and trying to get something good out of this discussion. But, John, I thought maybe we could talk to them a little bit about what it's like to do business in China.
All right, let's do it.
So I'll just mention a couple of things. You know, first of all, anyone that wants to do it, you have to fulfill your dream. You have to be ready to travel overseas, meet the people, be patient. And something as simple as the markings on the outer box, you think, you know, you write it down or explain to them how you want it, and they misspell the words. So you have to really cross the T's and dot the I's.
And have a lot of tea, by the way, too. And
tea is like every time you meet someone, they bring the tea out. It's so customary in that part of the world.
Yes.
But it takes a lot of effort initially to get the containers, the shipping realized, the product mix, and it takes capital to do it.
Hmm.
But once you get started, it goes a little smoothly. And just when you think it's going great, these guys pull the rug under you and they screw up or mess up or what happened. And their famous answer is, we'll fix it next time.
Yes.
Next time would be better. Well, meanwhile, you got a whole load of product that's defective or whatever, and you're stuck with it.
Yeah.
So unless you have a really good relationship with these guys, sometimes they get lost and they don't pay you. Or they don't pay your money back. So, you know, that's one of the pitfalls for sure. I mean, you do buy the price, you buy the product priced correctly, mm-hmm. where you can make a profit, but
you're taking all the risk.
You are taking all the risk. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing in the fireworks business. You know, it's a little bit harder. We can't negotiate on an item that's not finished. You know, to get quality. And then when we get it here, we hope that it's quality. And if it isn't, what do? There's no recourse. You're kind of stuck with it. You lower the price and you try and give your bad stuff to somebody else, and that's not good for your name.
No.
So you have to be honest in business and let them know that, hey, this is, I'll give you a great cheap price. It might not be the best cake.
Yeah, but again, with that communication, that's one of the reasons why you go to China twice a year.
Yeah.
Because you make sure, and you go there, and your famous line, you go sprinkle the infield. You make sure, or sprinkle the outfield or the infield? Both.
Sprinkle the infield.
I would think you sprinkle both, but at the end of the day, you make sure your suppliers are happy, and then this way they'll try and make you happy.
I'd rather see a mistake out loyalty. There and say, hey, you guys keep it. Don't send it because you know
you want loyalty with your suppliers.
You know, one other thing, guys. When I went to China back in the late 1990s, like I tell Jaden, there was an innocence about the people. It reminded me of a throwback to the 60s on how they viewed life and some of the simplest things that brought them such great joy. So what's happened is, you know, the Western world and Western culture is entering China, and because of that, pricing is going up. But on the other hand, the people are living a richer lifestyle, and the women are dressing up more fancy with the makeup and the whole bit. So I guess my point being, if you want to see China and get any glimpse of how it was, you know, go now, because that country is progressing so fast. You see skyscrapers there everywhere.
Yeah, it's changing very fast.
And it is changing so quickly. In fact, John, I'm sure you'll say every 6 months, if you've been to somewhere 6 months ago, it's like, I don't recognize it. What's happened? They're building buildings.
Yeah, those buildings and apartments going up all over. And but just look at the cars. I never forget when I first went to China.
Bicycles for me.
Yeah, it was so many bicycles and those rickshaws, whatever they call
and
it.
Mopeds,
you know, and mopeds. Yeah, I never knew where Honda sold all those scooters until I got to Taiwan and saw tons. I mean, that's all you see.
Right.
And I remember it was either you had, if they were very rich, you had a Mercedes-Benz, and if you were middle class, you had like a Honda. And there was only two cars really saw out there.
Right.
And now you're starting to see, I mean, anything from Ferraris to a ton of Mercedes, but the average guy now, like one of the guys that I made famous for making all my fireworks and really put him on the map because we give him a lot of business, a young kid. And now he's got his own car. He's got, not only does he have one baby, but he had a second baby, which costs more money. So you can see just how one person's life, how I changed one person's life. And, and so many people he probably changed as well.
You know, for Jade, he, you know, he's met a lot of these guys. I've come to the home, mm-hmm. and I asked him at a young age, you know, one day I want you to come to China and see what it's like, because, you know, eventually you'll take over for the business. And he's finally going this year. So
yeah, that'll be fun.
We'll be going to Guangzhou and Ningbo and other cities out there. But he's met him at the house, but now he's going to really see what it's all about.
Now, and one thing that I really enjoyed was at Jane's Bar Mitzvah was we all went out for a kind of like a breakfast lunch the day after. And many people from China came in, you know, for the party, and it was really nice. And then we're sitting there, and we're talking about, you know, just in general stuff. And then Rob says to, you know, to Frank, he said, now, Frank, you're going to take the Chinese people shopping, and you're going to take them here and take them there, you know.
Right.
And we do that because when we're in China, there is nothing that they will not do for us. And they mm-hmm. don't care about their families. They don't care about...
Even strangers. I remember meeting at factories for the very first time, and it looked like there was no chance of even remotely doing business with them. But they insisted and taking me to lunch. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I got to find my way to the next place, to the next factory, whatever. Oh, we'll take you there. I mean, they go out of their way.
Yeah, they go out. And that's my whole point. They go out of their way to make it very comfortable for us. Right. So it's only when you're a good businessman like myself and Rob, when the Chinese people come to our country, just like we did.
Well, today we helped
for brothers. You know, I got their tables.
That was Brothers.
That was Brothers company.
You know what, John? They are very good at gifting.
Yes.
So they will bring it. It's almost like in their culture, it's almost a necessity. When they meet someone, they will bring him a gift. Typically, it's silk, silk something or whether. But
I have a similar story. When I was in China, they wanted to take me to a factory in Liling, which is, with the roads being so bad, it's probably about an hour and a half drive. Is a fountain factory, and I got there, and they said, "Well, we make all the fountains for TNT and Phantom Fireworks." Well, if they would have told me that before the drive, I wouldn't have went, because TNT and Phantom Fireworks are two big vendors here today at the PGI. They don't buy quality; they buy shapes and sizes. Give me 50 cases of triangle shaped fountains. Give me a round. Give me a square. They just buy design shapes,
right,
and put labels on it. Anyway, so we went to this fountain. Now, imagine seeing 100 fountains. You know how long this demo was? And I'm like, and they're all doing the same thing, crackling, crackling. I'm like, oh, my God. I think even the factory boss was ready to kill himself.
Right.
So, but I waited. I was patient. I was nice. And there was no way, like you said, I was ever going to do business with this factory anyways. But, you know, I did my best. So I went to a Chinese restaurant. It took me to this big, fancy Chinese restaurant. And on the table was this... You know, of course, every table's got this lazy Susan, we call them here in the United States, and the glass sits on top and rolls around. So I said to one of the guys there, I said, you know, every table you sit at in China has a lazy Susan, but I've never seen the lazy Susan for sale.
Right.
I said, that's a beautiful, all, you know, real Chinese and gold. It was really nice. Well, we got up to leave the restaurant, and they had the lazy Susan wrapped up for me.
Yeah. Ready to go.
And ready to go. And then when I got home, I just bought a glass top for it, and I had my lazy Susan. I mean, but that's how you just say one thing. If you say, God, my phone is dead, boom, you got a phone charge.
Hey, John,
I mean,
listen.
Crazy.
The plane is tooting the horn now.
Okay.
So I want to give you one final story.
Okay.
You know, I would bring gifts to them. Typically, I'd give them a pound of candy I'd bring to them. And occasionally, they're really into American-made vitamins. That's a big deal for them.
Yeah.
Well, one year, I brought a package of Viagra.
No.
And with my finger, I showed the guy what it would do if you take it.
Mm-hmm.
If you could see the smile on their face when they grabbed that thing, they knew what it was.
There you go.
Wow.
So, John, remember that. When you go there, bring some with you.
Well, it'd be a lot cheaper.
You will be a hero.
Yeah, it'd be a lot better than me packing my suitcase with all their blue jeans and their iPhones.
Baby formula.
Much cheaper
baby
this way.
Formula, vitamins.
But they'll never forget you this way. You'll be a hero forever.
Yes.
And sports fans... Jade and I are going to leave you now as they honk the horn. They're starting the propellers up in the plane. So we must leave you.
All right.
Ron the Banker, it was great seeing you.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm
going to
let you guys carry on.
Well, we'll go to a little commercial and we'll say goodbye, and then we'll Johnny and I'll come back and wrap it up. Right?
Johnny, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Johnny. Jay,
thank you. Everyone. Thank you for coming.
We'll be back.
That was fun, guys. Now you're going.
You're listening to the tremendous Johnny Starr and the unbelievable Ron the Banker. Instead of searching the internet for Russian spies, log on to fireworksbrigade.com to get in touch with the show.
Didn't have to listen, but you did, and we thank you. Ron and John want your feedback, so log in to fireworksbrigade.com to get in touch with the show.
Well, that was fun. We got them to the plane in time.
We got them to the they got out to the plane in time. It was it was getting pretty bad there, but they made it. They made their plane. The guy was revving the engines, I think.
I think he was. Yeah, the stewardesses looked a little unsettled, and but we got them on their plane. So let's just do a few news stories, and we can wrap this up quick. We got some stuff here. Mm-hmm. Our normal pyro podcast. This was a story in San Jose, at NBCBayArea.com. We talked about that TNT app, remember?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
So apparently a lot of people in the San Jose area are complaining about this app because people apparently all you needed to do was in this San Jose area was if two people hit the button and complained about you or whatever, they would send you the fine without any type of proof, without any type of documentation. It was a $500 fine. And all these people have gotten these $500 fines and they're all like, you know, they're all rebelling. Like, what the heck is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
The residents say they were mailed $500 citations without anyone visiting them to verify the allegation. Not a single one, the residents said, not one at all. These citations originated online. So again, with like this app, with this TNT app that we're talking about. Yeah. So, I mean, what's the word, due process? Or, I mean, how could you just somebody, if I had an agenda against you, I could just hit the button twice and then the police would come and give you a $500 fine for fireworks.
Yeah. I mean, and once again, this is a fireworks company here at the PGI 2017 in Fargo, North Dakota, and this is a fireworks company that is in charge of vending,
right?
And they came up with this. So it's a fireworks company who is actually trying to get you in trouble for buying their product,
right?
I mean, it's ludicrous, but not even as bad as that is. Like you say, two people just hit the app and then you have a $500 fine,
right? And these people they can't pay it.
Yeah, and these are, I mean, like you say, if anyone's got a vendetta against someone, just send them out hit the button and they got a fine.
Hit the button. Yeah, and exactly. So, I mean, and that seems to be the way that we're coming to. And we talk about stories like Iowa, and I think there's even a story later here about Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
About how they're being a little bit more less restrictive on fireworks. But then you get stories like this where it's like, well, what are we doing here? You know, let's go one way or the other with this.
Yeah, and for a company to do that, I just think it's ridiculous. And, of course, they just promote this, oh, no, we're doing it for safety and fires. They just want to come out as the good guy firework place. But you know what? It's not working. People don't buy into it. That's all I can say.
Yeah. All right, here's another story. This one, this was in Arizona. July 4th fireworks show was unsettling. This gentleman... this is his email to the kdminer.com. Was anyone else bothered? This is a gentleman speaking. Was anyone else bothered by the rapid fire fireworks display, hardly ever letting one display finish before interrupting it with the start of another one or more than one, particularly all at the same time? It was a free for all, like watching an argument taking place where someone always interrupts the other person before they have a chance to finish or even finishing a sentence. How is this pleasurable? Next year, I'd like to see half as many rocket blasts in the same half-hour period. Might cut the city fireworks bill. not to mention make things safer for the ones putting on the show. I mean, what's the thought when you're putting together a show? Do you like to have it rapid fire? Do you like to give them a break?
You want to see Fast and Furious. And what this guy described is, yes, you need a finale. I mean,
yeah, right.
You know, God, I would hate to be his wife. What kind of guy is he in bed if he doesn't like the rapid fire excitement of fireworks?
Right.
What kind of guy is this?
Sometimes slow and easy is better than fast and hard, I guess.
Well, not. It depends how many times you're doing it. Enough rockets and everyone's having a good time.
Hey, baby. I'll give you some dueling skyrockets right here. Here's another one. Do you like Panera? Panera bread?
Yes. I love that Greek salad.
All right, so Panera. Fireworks or food? Surprising places artificial preservatives pop up. So this is Huffington Post published this. To better understand artificial preservatives and what they're used for, Panera Bread created its Preservatives with a Purpose campaign, which takes artificial preservatives out of its foods and shows where they can actually be put to good use. One such example is sodium benzoate. The widely used artificial preservative is often found in sauces and marinades, but it is also an important component of all things fireworks.
Yes.
Panera even went so far as to sponsor a whole fireworks display for the town of Johnson City, Illinois, which hasn't had a fireworks display for nearly a decade, showing where sodium benzoate is really put to best use. So what is it? Do you know what that's used for in fireworks?
No, not really. On that one, I do not. I mean,
but anyway,
imagine it's used in the star process. I'm not sure where.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's Panera taking that out of the food, which is good, and showing people what it's used for. So they put on a fireworks display for people. So here's another one. You know, I don't even want to talk about this because we always talk about it. But PETA, this one here. This was PETA.org. Record number of fireworks complaints prompt PETA proposal. So Sioux City, Iowa, the mayor's name, look at his name, Rod Koch is the mayor of Sioux City, Iowa. Anyway, so PETA sent this letter. Dear Mr. Koch, I am writing on behalf of the people of ethical treatment of animals and our more than 6.5 million members and supporters worldwide, including many across Nebraska, in response to your statement that despite a large increase in complaints from South Sioux City residents about fireworks, there will be no fire restrictions anytime soon. So basically, you know, Mr. Koch said, hey, look, we know you're complaining a little bit, but we're not going to restrict fireworks. We just basically passed a bill.
Passed them.
Right. And I did a little bit of math. So you know how many people are in the world?
No.
7.5 billion.
Okay.
So 75 million would be 1%.
1%.
So PETA has 6.5 million members. You know what percentage that comes out to me? 0.0009% of the people. So is it, I mean, how powerful is PETA?
Yeah.
PETA's
going to be petering out pretty soon. okay, but now we have a little dog that lives in my house, and when it thunders real loud, the dog runs and hide. I cannot stop the rain. I cannot stop the thunder. You cannot stop fireworks. I mean, it's one day a year, people. I mean,
and
dogs can hide underneath the bed. I mean,
right. And you have this 0.0009% of the population represented by PETA.
Yeah.
6.5 million members. You know what? And it sounds like such a big number. Oh, 6.5. No, that when you think about the 7.5 billion people in the world, That's nothing. So and just to prove it, here's some fireworks statistics. This is recent numbers. Pounds of fireworks purchased each year, 247 million pounds. Annual display fireworks revenue, $335 million. Consumer fireworks revenue, $725 million. Total annual fireworks revenue from the industry, $1.06 billion. Number of injuries per fireworks used per 100 pounds, 3.5, It's all this money being generated.
And once again, the numbers of accidents related to fireworks are nothing in comparison to any other thing because it is only one day, but yet they stress that one day and they just come up with these numbers and it's so small compared to so many other things in the world.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Let's go to the Pennsylvania. So I thought of this one because I know PGAI seemed to be kind of a bust this year and it's sad. Go to the next story. So that's sad. So this one's about Pennsylvania.
This is from McCall.com. For decades, illicit fireworks sales, Roman candles, aerial repeaters light up the 4th of July, but those bootleg transactions could come to a grand finale in Pennsylvania if a Senate bill becomes law. A revenue bill the state passed Thursday would permit Pennsylvanians to buy consumer-grade fireworks at Pennsylvania stores. The bill would expand a 2004 law that permits in-state fireworks sales, but only to those who don't live in the state. So does that mean so people who don't live in the state could buy fireworks in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
But at least it's a start.
Now it says, let's see here, because it mentions another one of our famous people here. It says the bill would expand a 2004 law, but only to those who don't live in the state, leading a plethora of stores such as Phantom Fireworks in Williams Township and other border communities.
Oh, okay.
So let's see. We'll buy fireworks in Pennsylvania morning call. The bill should become law. So, yeah, it looks like Phantom is going to have to open up stores in Pennsylvania now because they'll be losing in Ohio with this passing.
No, okay. So that's what that is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, so anyway, Pennsylvania looks like they're going to be a little progressive here.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Next story. The NewsHerald.com, Allen Park man allegedly threatens to shoot neighbor for setting off fireworks.
Here we go again.
A neighborhood argument in Allen Park got ugly. This is in Michigan. After a man allegedly threatened to shoot his neighbor if he didn't stop lighting off fireworks. The incident occurred after 8 p.m. July 16th on the 6,000 block of Pelham Road. Victim said he and his father were setting off fireworks in the backyard, and immediately afterward, a neighbor came to the side gate leading to the yard. So, have you ever been the two residents told police the neighbor yelled at them and said if they shot off any more fireworks, he was going to do something of his own with his gun.
So you wonder, like, okay, now you say, wow, the guy lighting fireworks off is crazy. But there's another guy crazier because he's threatening to make another loud noise with his gun and shoot you for making loud noises.
Right. So he's going to just one loud noise to the other. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Here, go to this one. So now we've talked about this many times where we have the headline where it shouldn't be. So, where there's always, there's all this damning stuff and they always got to throw the fireworks in there. I think from now here we have a soundbite for this. Hold on.
Johnny Starr, fireworks judge. Pyro is now entering the courtroom.
Did you ever watch People's Court?
People's Court, Judge Wapner,
So, if you were a fireworks judge, let's say, what would you do with these people? Pair found with cocaine, counterfeit, and fireworks. New York State Police say a seemingly routine traffic stop for speeding in suburban New York yielded cocaine, counterfeit money, and fireworks. 29-year-old Bronx man and 21-year-old Manhattan woman were arrested Monday after a traffic stop along the interstate. They both face multiple charges that include first-degree forgery. The forgery is not even mentioned in the headline, but they mentioned the fireworks.
Yeah.
Fifth-degree possession of a controlled substance and unlawful possession of fireworks. Troopers say they found probable cause to search the car. The pair was traveling in after interviewing the driver. According to police, troopers found cocaine, marijuana, $100 counterfeit bill, and illegal fireworks. Okay. Johnny Starr, fireworks judge, what do we do with this couple? And if you take a look at them on the next page, they're kind of seemly looking there.
Oh, yes. Well, see, this is where drugs do not mix with fireworks.
No.
Because what basically would happen is they got all coked up. And they decided to take their counterfeit money and come buy fireworks off a guy like me. So not only did I lose the fireworks, I got a couple of counterfeit bills I can't have.
Uh-huh.
And then these people are not in enough trouble with the cocaine, but they need to pay for their fireworks, which are legal.
With fake money. They're just throwing bad money after bad.
Is this like the world's dumbest criminal? I'd lock them up for 100 years.
There you go. Pyro judge has spoken. 100 years.
100 years.
All right, this one's not really about fireworks, but I thought this was funny. Cicero woman charged with DUI on the way to a DUI class. Western suburbs in Chicago, she was on her way to court-ordered DUI class for previous arrest. She was pulled over about 5:30 p.m. Officer smelled alcohol and cannabis coming from the vehicle. She failed sobriety test. Police said she had a blood alcohol level of 0.196, more than double the legal limit. The officer found an open beer can and 18 grams of cannabis in the vehicle, according to police. She told police that she's on her way to a mandated DUI class in Chicago as part of a plea argument from a January 13th arrest. Wow. She was charged. So I think we found a woman for Dino.
I think, yes, we did. And I think at the bottom of the article says that she's an Uber driver.
Does it?
No, it doesn't. So basically, I laugh at this story just as much as there's a company out here called in North Dakota, because everyone likes to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Sober Guy. You know, call up Sober Guy and Sober Guy drives you home. Well, the funniest story I ever read out here was Sober Guy got pulled over and got DUI.
Yeah. Well,
so he's driving the drunks home and he's not even sober.
Remember the story we talked about? Yeah. The guy in the Zamboni?
No, yeah. The drunk Zamboni guy.
The drunk Zamboni guy. Here's another story. Man, this one's closer to this home. Man arrested after accused of setting off fireworks in a Grand Forks bar. Arrested a 20-year-old. Well, first of all, he's 20. He's not supposed to be in a bar, but a Crookston man after he was suspected to have set off large fireworks inside a bar, loft bar, I don't know where that is, while it was full of customers. Moderate damage was dealt to the inside of the bar. Several customers were reported to be hit from flying pieces of glass caused by the explosion. People, please don't let fireworks.
Just goes to show you what people would do not to pay their bar tab. Terrible.
There you go. You got another one? You got any more on that one?
I was going to say, instead of giving the bartender a tip, he gave him a show. Obviously, you know, I was in Cabo San Lucas last week.
Yeah, with the Labradors.
Yeah, when Ron, the banker, refers to Labradors, he's actually talking about my faithful warehouse employees.
But Labradors are, it's pretty fitting.
I guess, yeah. I mean, Labradors, they're, so then I start calling them Labradors as well.
Yeah, see, I
But, yeah, so we were in that, I took them to the famous saloon bar.
Which you can see on our YouTube channel.
You can see on our YouTube channel, and they did an awesome fire show, and the kids were just in amazement because they never seen the top of a ceiling of a bar on fire. Never actually saw the top of a ceiling in a bar either, because they're all 17, 18 years old.
Now they can go to the bar. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
And they also went to their first strip club, too. Now, I did not
go. You didn't go with, no.
I didn't go there with that. We let Uncle Dino do that, because Uncle Dino likes to partake in all that
debauchery.
Yes, and then, you know, let's get these kids in trouble at an early age. They just might like it and wind up all like right. Uncle Dino, where I promote the other way. Hey, let's go swimming in a pool. Let's have a ham sandwich. Let's go. We take the UTV out. Two things I don't believe in is prostitution.
You beached it. I've never heard that term, beaching an ATV.
Yes, and that was Jeffrey using that term, which, you know, that being said, I'm not going to say nothing, but that might not be the right term. But it is like a beached whale, so we've got it stuck.
Well, and I knew you were gone, like I am, I'm your make-a-wish. We've talked about that before. But one of the stories that drew my attention, and I figured I'd bring it up to you, and it doesn't have has nothing to do with fireworks, but I'm interested to hear your take on it. So Facebook, it's Facebook engineers panic. Pull plug, you passed it up already, it's this one here. Right. Yeah, that's it right here.
Yeah, right there. Okay.
So Facebook engineers panic, pull plug after AI on AI after bots develop their own language. Did you hear about this?
No. Uh-uh.
So as the world's most, here, I'll read the story. As the world's most powerful computer systems begin to embrace artificial intelligence in earnest using smart algorithms to increase efficiency and speed, the potential damage that a rogue AI could cause continues to grow. This is from the Facebook. The AI bots, which were originally programmed to use plain English to communicate with one another, were found to be speaking what appeared to be gibberish. Sentences like "I can I everything else" and "balls have zero to me" were being sent back and forth by the AI. And while humans have absolutely no idea what it means, the bots fully understood each other without being able to understand how or why the bots were communicating. Facebook had no choice but to shut down the system. Do you know what this means? These robots were talking to each other in a language that they only understood.
Yes.
That's pretty scary.
This sounds like Westworld.
Right, exactly. Yes. Doesn't it? Or what was that movie? Remember with Matthew Broderick, War Games? Would you like to play a game? Remember?
Yeah.
So these bots were talking to each other, and Facebook panicked and shut them down.
So let me get this straight. Now, I mean, I understand we have to worry about, you know, Iraq and Iran.
Now we have to worry about...
And their languages. Yeah. And now we have a... Once again, we even let bad bots in our country.
What? I don't think so Trump is
anything. Do we need a firewall? We need a firewall.
We do.
Oh, no, so we got to have a wall.
And a firewall.
We have to have a wall for the Mexicans. We have to have a firewall for the bots.
Yeah.
You know, we have to have...
That's pretty scary. What I mean, at the end of the day, that scares you, doesn't it? It makes you won't sleep quite as easily.
And I want to know what they're talking about.
Well, right. And those sentences are gibberish, but apparently they understood
each
other.
They know what they're... Yeah, I've seen a lot of gibberish languages, and they know what they're talking about. Should have heard the tapes before 9-1-1 bombing. They're pretty gibberish, too.
All right, a couple more. What would Johnny do?
What would Johnny do? I'm ready.
All right, and this is another story I don't know if you've heard about. This is a Wisconsin company.
Yes.
To implant
microchips
in employees. Did you hear about this?
Never.
Would you ask an employee to get a chip implanted in his or her hand? Sounds invasive and intrusive, but come August 1st, one company in Wisconsin will be giving it a try. Three Square Market, a developer of software used in vending machines, is offering all of its employees the option to get a microchip implanted between their thumb and forefinger. It's quick, painless, and the company will even pick up the fee, $300. And don't worry, there's no GPS tracking capability yet.
Yes,
that's the operative word. Mm-hmm. The company is expecting 50 of its employees to voluntarily sign up for the implants. Eventually, this technology will become standardized, allowing you to use this as your passport, public transportation, purchasing opportunities. Chief Executive Ted Westby wrote in a blog post announcing the program, claiming it would be the first of its kind in the U.S. The program is meant to be a real-life opportunity. A Swedish organization named Epicenter began doing the same thing earlier this year, and the workers seem to love it. People ask me, are you chipped? And I say, yes, why not? If you worked in a place like this, would you let them chip you?
No, I would not. Same reason I don't have a tattoo. My mother always told me, God gave you a beautiful, clean, healthy body. Why destroy it? Now, what happens if you put this chip in your finger?
It's like the size of a piece of rice.
Yes, I know. But what if your body rejects this?
Well, then it'll just come out.
Oh, we don't know.
It'll be like, I would imagine it would be like a sliver.
Next
it would
thing
just
you know,
come
I
out.
Mean, we have enough cancer in this world. What do we got? What do we know about this radioactivity? You're planning a chip, a computer, your electrical component in my skin.
So, I mean, is that your only concern, or would you be concerned about like they could track you? I mean, would you like to have like you would never have to bring a credit card again, your driver's license, your medical records, you know, all that stuff?
Well, basically, all I have to do is cut the guy's finger and thumb off and go. On a shopping spree.
I never thought of that. So yeah. So people would be taking
flying
your thumb.
All over the world. With
my
his thumb.
Thumbs, Charlie. Yeah. My thumbs. they took my thumbs.
Yeah. No. I'm not gonna let somebody put a chip in me. I'm not a robot. And second of all, we got body rejects this. We got, and it will be for tracking. America wants to track. The government wants to track everybody.
What you would see if you let it track Dino for a few weeks?
What, the inside of windbreak? what the heck are we going to...
I guess.
We don't even need a tracking device on him. You know, it's either the store, windbreak, or windbreak.
All right, all right, so you're against the chipping thing.
I'm totally against
it. So now here's another one. This is not a story, but this is what happened to me. So I was at a baseball game at the Sox Park in Chicago. It was a Cubs-Sox game. And so it was very crowded, more crowded than usual because the Cubs were there. So
yes.
Sox usually don't attract many people.
No,
so it was very crowded. So I go in the bathroom. There's like 11 urinals on the wall because I counted them because I really had to go. And the lines were three deep in every urinal. So
wow.
I was like, and it's sweaty and it's hot in there and I really got to go. So I'm standing there and I'm waiting in line. The guy behind me, Cub fan, he had a Cubs shirt on, of course. Cub fans are jerks, and you know, whatever. But
well, we used to see at Cubs Park, they pee in a trough, so,
right?
Yeah,
in a trough,
so they're not used to waiting,
they're
in
not
line.
Used to actual plumbing,
The short guys actually pee between the tall guy's legs at a Cubs game, that's how bad they are,
So the guy behind me, he's got his phone, he's not looking, he's a younger guy, not looking, he keeps jabbing me in the back,
you know, I'm sweaty, I'm hot, and I'm annoyed, and I got to go really bad. He keeps jabbing me in the back with the phone.
He's giving me like a kidney punch.
Exactly, with the phone. He keeps jabbing me. I'm like, you know what? That's fine, whatever. It's, you know,
you're an easygoing guy.
I have to be more tolerant, you know. Yes. So I'm sitting there. So
I would have threw his phone in the toilet.
It gets worse. So I'm sitting there, so I'm like, all right. So now the guy in front of me, he gets up. It's his turn in line, so he's up, so I'm next. Before the guy even unzips his pants, he takes his phone out of his pocket. So now he's got his phone in his right hand, his tool in his left hand. He's reading the phone before he's even peeing. So now I got the guy looking on his phone in front of me, and I'm thinking, my eyes are turning yellow. I got to pee. The guy behind me pokes me again.
He's poking a bear.
And he pokes me again. So I turn around, I look at him, and he knows I'm upset. So he goes, oh, I'm sorry, dude. And the guy in front of me was a Cub fan as well. So I can't stress this enough. The task at hand literally is to go pee, but he's got the phone and he's looking at his phone. He's scrolling with his thumb, and I'm like, couldn't he just, you know, really? So the guy next to me on my left, he's laughing. He sees what's going on. He knows I'm spinning myself into the ground like a drill bit.
We know how you get. I've seen it firsthand.
Seen that firsthand. So and he was a Sox fan, and he made a comment. He's like, man, they got you surrounded. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know this. Between this guy behind me and this guy in front of me, I'm surrounded by phones and Cub fans. It's killing me. Mm-hmm. And then the guy behind me, now he gets worked up. He's like, leave it alone, man. I'm like, what do you mean leave it alone? He's like, I told you, just leave it alone. I'm like, what are you going to do? Poke me with your phone again? Really? Come on. Really? I go, that's what you want? This is where you're going to make a stand? Leave it alone? You would stop poking me.
Yeah.
You know, and he wanted to like go outside and fight. I mean, I'm like, are you kidding me? Just stop. Leave me alone. Give me my space. Yeah. But get your face out of the freaking phone.
Yes. Well,
what would you have done?
Well, like I said, first thing I would have done was I probably would have ripped the phone out of his hand and threw it in the toilet. And kind of do like a Tony Montana. Look at you now. Look at you now. Yeah, yeah.
Say hello to the bad guy.
Yeah, and you want to make some of it? Yes, I like to make some of it because I'm getting tired of being poked by your telephone. I turn it into a hate crime.
You would. There you go. Yeah. And instead of like a black-white thing or a racist thing, it would be a Cub Sox hate crime.
A Cub Sox hate crime.
Yeah, I'm sure there's been plenty of those.
And the irony is the Apple signals got a piece of the Apple missing.
Yes.
And that guy would have a piece of his skull missing after I hit him in the head with the Apple phone. So it'd be kind of like I hit him in a corner and that picks a nice little chunk out.
You know? Oh, there you go. Last story, John. I really wanted to know did you know that there's a bakery in Chicago that stopped taking you don't need to read
dough
it.
For your dough.
The reporter wrote a story about how he believes sooner or later nobody's going to have cash anymore. So there's a bakery in Chicago where they don't even take cash anymore. So, and I know that's your TVs out there. Yeah. We're all alone in Starfire. Yeah, so thought there was a ghost.
Scary thing out here. Yeah.
So there are some stores and there are some places that won't accept cash anymore. And they're talking about like sooner or later, it'll all just be a cashless society. And I know, you take in a fair amount of cash, mostly credit cards, but there is still some cash that comes into the firework business. What's your take on that? You think we'll ever live to see a cashless society, or is somebody like our kids or like Jaden that was here earlier that would more be?
Well, that is exactly what our government is pushing for, is a cashless society, so they can keep control, so they can track everything,
right?
And it'd be like that, just chip in your fingers, a chip in your pocket. And that's probably why I wanted to do the chip in your finger, so just make it easier to faster to swipe your finger, I guess.
Right, right.
But bottom line is cash is king. And in this country, with all this cyber wars and all that, the last thing I'd want to do is be relying on some magnetic strip to feed me. So imagine now you walk into McDonald's and you swipe your card and they say, no, you don't have any money.
Well, but you know you have it.
And you know you have your money, but the machine says you don't. And now you don't eat. So to me, I never want to be in that situation. I was in that situation yesterday coming home. I wanted to watch a $5.99 movie, highway robbery, but I wanted to watch on the plane to pass the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm swiping my card, unable to read your card. Swipe, unable to read your card. Very frustrating.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and I had to go in my bank bag for my credit card, which has got a fair amount of cash in there, but I still can't get a movie because it's not reading the card. And then the other guy next to me swipes his card, and he's watching a movie. I almost said, can I just give you $6 and swipe your card? I have cash. Right. I have no
credit card that's working.
I mean, so that's, it's just a frustrating thing for me.
Yeah, yeah. And it,
it's only a matter of time until somebody, they're already hacked into our banking systems. It's a matter of time for someone hacks into this, and they could cripple the whole country in a matter of days.
Right.
If
leave
people cashless.
Right. Right. And I actually had the same kind of thing. I went to the Apple store. My phone was not working right, and they said I needed to increase my cloud storage capacity. Mm-hmm. They wanted 99 cents a month. I was like, okay, I'll give you $12. And they're like, well, no, we just debit your credit card 99 cents a month. No. I said, no, I just, here's 12. You know, I'll give you $24. I'll come back in 2 years or shut me off. You know, but they wouldn't do it. I'm like, I don't need another bill. I know it's 99 cents, but it's the principle of the thing. And so I went without. I just backed it up to my computer and went on. But, you know, here it says other countries have done an effective job eliminating folding money. Sweden is so much a cashless society that most bank branches do not handle currency. In China, even debit cards are going out of fashion. People increasingly pay using their phones.
WeChat. WeChat on our phones.
In India, soon fingerprints will be used to pay the bills. The country was voiding its big bills to encourage citizens to open bank accounts accessed by biometric sensors.
Yes.
And with any change, some are left behind. 7% of Americans don't have bank accounts, though I suppose those people aren't the target demographic for $5 brownies, because this place that went cashless is in the city of Chicago, but they sell brownies for $5, so it's an expensive place. So apparently, you know, maybe in our lifetime it will be cashless, but, you know, that's...
Well, it could just be a very scary thing when... Mm-hmm. Okay, so here you go. You go into this bakery, and the reason they want you not to have cash is because, I don't care what you say, but when you hand someone over $5 for a brownie, you know what you just spent on that brownie. But if you're just swiping your card all day, you have no idea of what is actually going out of your bank
account.
That's
the old Vegas trick, why they give you chips instead of putting your money on the table, because a chip is a chip. You don't know what it's
worth.
It's not the same.
Yeah, you look at that $100 chip, and it looks like the same as the pink one that costs $5. Well, it makes no difference to you.
Right.
So basically, I can see this bakery wanting to do that, because they're basically robbing you for their food anyways.
Right.
So I could just see it. Now, you go to this bakery. You want a $5 brownie. Your card doesn't work. You have no money. You can't get the brownie. And then your helpline is in India, who they're laughing on the other end because they finally got us to do exactly what they want us to do. Go cashless and rely on their help desk.
Right.
And they're not even in our country. They're not even on our monetary system. But
I know.
But they're going to be our helpline for us to get our money, which isn't their money. It's terrible. So I think that the bakery, I'm saying I'm banning this, I'm boycotting this bakery. That's what I'm doing.
So never step foot in Goddess in the Baker, 225 North LaSalle in Chicago. So I don't think you'd ever be in there.
No, I'm not. You know what I like? No, you know what? I think I will go there next Monday.
You're going to?
Yes. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to offer them $100 for that brownie just to see what they do. And when they decide to take it, I'll say, oh, no, wait. You're a cashless bakery. And then you see their faces drop. So for the right amount of money, they're going to be giving me a brownie. I'll tell you that.
This one guy wrote a book. They'll give you it for $100. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll give you, you can give just about anything.
But then I won't give it to them because I'll say, no, you're cashless. Oh, okay. I understand.
There's a guy that wrote a book, The Curse of Cash, Kenneth Rogoff, the author. Not for a cashless society, but for this guy argues not for a cashless society, but for the elimination of big bills because it reduces tax evasions, money laundering, and other felonies. Cash is very big in criminal activity, he said. 80 or 90% of the drug trade and human trafficking. Well, of course, illegal activities is cash. What else would you can't pay for a credit? You use a credit. Where are you going to swipe the credit card for a hooker?
Well, I got an idea where I would like to stick it. But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Where are you going to swipe this thing?
The bottom line is, yes, when you want something, you know, maybe illegal, you need cash. But when you go to the grocery store, you need cash because you want to get something. You don't have enough money on your credit card. You need cash. How about you go to the gas station and you got a $100 bill? Now, this happened to Dino. He goes to the gas station. And he goes to buy like one of them crescent rolls or something like that. He gives the guy a $100 bill and he says, no, I don't have change. He takes the crescent roll and Dino said, well, that's all I have. So he takes the crescent roll and he puts it back, you know, behind the counter. Mm-hmm. And so he's like the crescent roll Nazi. He's like, no,
no
crescent roll for you today.
Yes, come yes. Back no soup for you.
Come back with smaller bills and we know you work for them. Okay, so the next day he goes there and he pumps gas for $15.
Uh-huh.
And he gives the guy a $100 bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says, I don't have change. So he goes, well, now what are you going to do? You're going to take the gas back too? You know, right. So the guy found the change.
Oh, now
see, he had to go to the little machine, punch the little button, and it drops down. The bottom line is our kids are so lazy today working in these places, not even want to cash you out. They don't right. even.
That's sad.
It is sad. And then, of course, the owner of the gas station is probably sitting at home knowing that none of this is going on. So he could have sold the crescent roll, but the guy was too lazy to get the cash, so crescent roll gets put back on the shelf for a guy with a credit card because that's what that kid likes to do. Today, I gave a guy a $100 bill for two waters. I needed change for the PGI. And the guy, it took him five times. He counted the money five times to make sure it was right. And I said, don't cheat yourself. Count it six times because there I don't want to, you know, yeah, yeah. I don't want to cheat the guy.
Right, right.
I mean, but how hard is it to count out $98? But when you're just swiping a card.
That's all they're used to doing.
You know.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know. And then this whole chip thing in my finger, I just see it now. You know, mm-hmm. you stick my finger in the wrong place and God only knows what's going
to
happen
with
that
you
chip.
Got computers talking to each other. Well, you get my chip in my finger talking to your chip in your finger and maybe I could swipe like all your balances yeah. to my finger. Yeah, there you go.
Well, that would really be havoc for you since you're the banker and I have $0.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that would be kind of tough yeah. for you. Yeah. they can see how a businessman lives.
Oh God. Well, hey, it's been fun. Yes. You know what? PGI is not what it was. Hopefully, when next we meet, we will be in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
For NFA.
Mm-hmm. That'll kind of be like a little highlight for me. I'll finally be a part of something again.
Yeah, and I'll expect a little bit of a recap on PGI, you know, because I'm leaving. I'm here just for today, and then we'll go. I'm going back. So let me know how PGI was. Give me a report back, but then we'll go to next. The NFA we look forward to. That's going to be fun. We'll do two shows there. We'll do them in the ballroom like we always do. We'll get Nancy Belogin on board and
now see how quality the NFA is. They they respond back to your emails with joy and pleasure.
Now, TNT wouldn't respond.
Yeah, you sent two emails to TNT asking them for a interview and they have not even
no response. Asking if they would just talk about even talk. I said I didn't even tell them what we wanted to talk about. Just say, hey, we're going to be in Fargo, PGI is in Fargo. It's a great opportunity to promote the passion of fireworks. You know, we talk about whatever you want to talk about. Can you come on our show? Send a representative over. No response.
See, so, you know, my final thought is go out to the PGI, enjoy the fireworks. You got beautiful displays. I love the Guild. I love the PGI. Sure, I'm upset that I'm not a vendor and I don't feel part of it this year, but I want to go out and enjoy the PGI. But I really strongly hope that you guys all ban against buying these fireworks that are no good and for cheap prices, but they're not that cheap to begin with. And remember, when you're buying from TNT, you're buying from a company who supports an app to turn you in for lighting the very same product they sold you.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can say about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well said. So, yes, NFA. Well, we look forward to it. I will get some emails out to Nancy Belogin. We'll see what we can come up with, something fun. And
yes.
And we'll take it from there. It's been fun. See you later.
See you later.